Welcome to this week's episode of You Must Be Joking podcast with me, Eric Lawler.
Me, Will Arwee.
And today's guest is a fella called Chris Connolly. And people are like, Chris Connolly? Who the is Chris Connolly?
Better known as Get Better with Chris.
Chris, it's very fucking great to have you here, pal.
Thanks very much for that. Thank
you're probably, look, I'm looking at you there sitting on the chair going, I feel a bit unsettled. I should be running. I should be running. Because anyone who knows Chris will know that he likes to interview people on the run. That's probably why he got you involved.
Hey! So there's a fella on the Chris's podcast next week. He's doing 6 years in the jury, but he's on the run at the minute. He didn't go back out to T.O. So he'll be getting interviewed.
Chris, come here. We've been at you for ages trying to get you on. We finally got you on. We're delighted. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Thanks very much for having me as well.
No, you're welcome.
You are looking fit as fuck. Now, obviously, you do a lot of running, but Jesus Christ, you're looking well.
No, thanks very much. So far, so good. Please, God, I'm currently training to run the length of the UK. So from the top of Scotland down to...
John O'Groats
to Land's End.
What's the distance?
1,480 kilometres. So it's 50 Jesus. Kilometres a day for 30 days.
Mother of Jesus.
Come here, what wheelchair company? No, come here. So come here, and I ask you, right? So, it started off. You'd done a run for Archie. Do you want to just let people know who Archie is?
Yeah. So Archie is a young boy who's suffering from muscular dystrophy, and his family have the mammoth task of raising €3.5 million in order to be able to get him the treatment that he needs. And I was introduced to Archie and his mum and dad through a friend of mine, Paul Merriman. And recently, we had ran the length of Ireland for Archie, and I think I accumulated over €135,000
wow.
in 10 days.
Christ.
Yeah, so this time we're trying to raise €250,000 in the 30 days that we're going to be running the length of the UK.
Amazing.
So what's the game plan for the 30 days? Have you got a sponsor first and foremost?
Not yet.
Okay,
not yet.
Well, let's just say that now.
Yeah, so please God, 3 weeks out, nobody to sponsor it. But like the end goal is just to make sure that I start off, be able to fundraise, and then please God, everything works out then in the end. You know
and if
I mean?
There is anybody listening, Chris, at the moment that I'd even want to say put you up in accommodation or pay for meals for you or something like that, or even, you know, or maybe buy you a couple of pairs of trainers or a bit of training gear or you're open to it. And how can they do that?
Just give either yourselves a show or else me a show on Instagram, you know. But I just know it'll all work out.
Yeah,
you know
it always does.
It'll all work out. Yeah, you know that better than anybody. Sometimes you just need to show up and then the rest will take care of itself. So please God, the plan is to just to start off and hopefully just literally run 50k every single day.
And would you, 50k to me is like that's get a taxi for me, like, you know, and like the thought of even running 5k would kill me. But obviously you could do 50k.
Yeah, so I've been training a lot lately now, and that's because do you know what the crazy thing is? So I've ran 5k every day consecutively for close to 900 days. I'm actually about 20 days off it.
Have you done a 5k today?
So I always do 5k. I've done 2.5 now, and when I leave this studio I'll do 22.5, but my running has started to increase up. So per week now I run about 150 kilometres to 200 kilometres a week.
Whoa.
Whereas previously I used to run 5k every day, and what I didn't realise was that my body started to almost acclimatise to that. I started to put on so much weight.
No way.
And yeah, since I started to up the training, then I started to lose
but you're burning a lot more calories, and your body needs a lot more fuel. It's like if you were on a steam train and you're used to going on that steam train 20 kilometres, you'll probably use 6 bags of coal.
Yeah,
But you're now doing 100 kilometres on that train, you're going to need 20 bags of coal.
Yeah.
So you need to fuel your body and to put the stuff into your body in order for you to perform and get to what you want to do.
Yeah, and also I just love food as well, you know what I mean? like the best of us, you know what I mean?
It's only taunt you, man. I mean, I started back doing a little bit of training as well, and I'm struggling seriously with food at the moment. I'm like Homer Simpson at the fridge at night. Last night I come in, I was out playing golf last night at 5 o'clock, and when I got home I was starving. Now in fairness to me missus, she done me a beautiful steak sandwich with, you know, onions and sweet potato fries, but the minute that was done, then I'm sizing up the press, I'm eating biscuits, I'm eating snack bars, I'm drinking milk,
it's Yeah, it's fucking. And sometimes I don't know whether I'm actually hungry or whether I'm just trying to eat out my emotions.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, how the fuck am I supposed to? And if I'm not bleeding, eating,
don't
I'm bleeding.
Hanging around with me. I'm just saying, the same condition you had. Yeah, yeah. It's called starving bastardolitis. And you're just bleeding. It is like 9 times out of 10, they reckon, even though we don't do it, is drink a pint of water or drink a glass of water when you think you're hungry.
Yeah, or you'd be the person who drinks the glass of water and waits for it to walk. You know?
And you're looking at your watch going, still not walking.
I'm waiting for it to walk even before I drink the glass of water.
I have the Twix in the other hand. I'm just getting ready for
what's
it.
What's going in first? Oh, Jesus. So, obviously, like, with all the running you've done, how long are you doing this now, Chris?
The running?
Yeah.
So consecutively now I've done the 5K every day. That's a minimum for nearly 900 days now. So
it's mad because I remember you being on social media and it was a mate of mine. Like a lot of stuff that happens on social media, someone will tell you.
Yeah.
Watch this fella. I'm going on to this fella and someone says to me, I think you like this fella. Like he's.
Do you reckon anyone ever does that for us?
I'd say probably is. Check these probably two one or two people that have done it, you know, people that don't like their mates around. Go listen to these two.
Feeling good about yourself. Check these two pricks out.
Do you want your dad to go to shui? Check. No, but I, someone said to me, I know you remember seeing you for the first time, and then, you know, you do a little bit of homework. Where is he from? And you're from up around Fighting Man. And my family is from around there and dealt with addiction and cousin. You know, died of the virus and cousins that have been using and that, and kind of heard your background, then heard you on a podcast you're talking about, and it's like exactly the stuff that I dealt with.
The
psychosis.
Yeah, I can remember.
We talked about it, and the same thing. When I suffered with my first bout of psychosis, like I said, I was in London. I went to London, and I know you went to the UK as well. But yeah, really, really. Really identified with what you were doing apart from the running.
Yeah.
I didn't really identify with that. Well, I identified what was at the happening with you, because it happened to me, like, you know.
And that's what I love when you get to meet people and they have certain trauma, or forgive me for the saying it, like, but they're fucked up too.
Yeah.
It helps me to feel like, oh, you know what, he's actually all right.
Yeah.
He's fucked up, I'm fucked up. Yeah. Let's share how fucked up we are. Yeah. And then before you know it, you feel so much better. Yeah.
We should start the Me Too campaign.
What's that? Me too.
I call it Me Drink. Me Drink. Just a little bit fucked up. Hashtag Me Drink.
It's a good campaign.
Yeah, two personalities. Me Drink.
And me as well.
When you're breaking up with a schizophrenic girlfriend, you go, oh, it's not you, it's you.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic. It's all mine.
But Chris, obviously, I know you've probably dealt with this on other podcasts and all that, but what was the moment where you said, right, I need to fucking sort something with my life, with what's going on in my life, what's consumed me, what was the epiphany moment for you?
Rock bottom gets deeper every single time, you know what I mean? It was multiple moments, you know, multiple chances that I had to be able to pull myself out of the rut that I was in, or be able to become aware of what the fuck I was actually doing. But it all sort of happened when I started to experiment with crack, and then my mind just went, and then before I knew it, my mind just snapped.
Really, yeah.
And I just entered into a different realm. And I always had the attitude of, I actually don't give a fuck if I die when I'm using drugs, because I'm not afraid of death until I realised that there's much worse things in this world than death. And that's when you lose your mental health.
Yeah, but do you know what happens, Chris? And I'm sure you can identify with this, because you come afraid of living.
Death
looks really, really appealing, attractive. And I said this loads of times on podcasts, that I used to see friends of mine laid out in undertakers or in their houses in coffins and go, you lucky bastard, you don't have to do what I have to do.
So it does, and
I don't want to go into the whole crack thing and that, but I mean, crack is just, it's a different level of drug use. Yeah. It's insanity.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And there's no, you know, you take that for people that don't know what it's like to take crack cocaine, analogy on taking crack cocaine is like, crack cocaine is like, you've won when you're on it, you've won the Euro Millions. And when you're coming down off it, you've lost the fucking ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly...
That's fucking brilliant. That's
exactly
very...
What
that's
like,
very good.
Isn't it?
That's very good.
You're like, when you're on it.
And then you're like, oh, where is it? Where is
then
it?
Then you're bleeding, crawling the carpets and putting your granny's toenails on the pool.
Or even more, she thinks somebody robbed the ticket.
Who took it? Yeah. No, but it is. And it definitely kind of flips you over the edge. And I suppose England was the... probably just a breaking point for you when
so subconsciously I think the reason why I went to England was because I thought there was somebody coming to shoot me and I needed to flee away. But now when I start to look back, it's almost like I was trying to run away from the addiction, you know what I mean? And that's what I done with my physical sense of self. But as most people will know, like, you can't run away from addiction. It's everywhere that you go, it's in between your two ears.
You bring it with you wherever you go.
And when I was just over there, I was just completely and utterly lost, and I was terrified, man, you know. I was just living in terror. And thankfully, by the mercy of God, I've just got lucky. That's the best way. Because I was at a wellness talk, and I'll never forget it. I was giving a talk in Indeed, and a girl spoke up, and she says, "What's the difference between you who's made it and a friend of mine who's in the ground?" I said, "You know, I think the honest answer is that I'm just lucky."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. But for the grace of God, go away.
I know. I'd be like that as well. Look, come here. People were instrumental in me getting where I am today, but sometimes you make your own look like.
That's it, will I? Yeah.
Well, I was the one who got you onto this podcast, so. Yeah, so fairness. I did a bit as well, like, you know.
Yeah, it is. Look, come here. And it is sad sometimes because, look yourself, Chris, where the areas we come from, not a lot of people get this.
A lot
of them stay where they are.
Yeah. And you can't save everybody either. And that's one thing that I find, like if you ever see somebody who's struggling or anything like that, you're always quick. And especially the Irish people are great for helping people out. You know what I mean? They'll always love you, care for you, and put their arms around you. Like, my nanny used to do that for me for years. But there comes a time when you need to leave the people be and let them suffer on their own and let them be able to realise, like, I'm actually in a little bit of trouble here, you know.
And let them figure it out themselves, kind of thing.
I was in Donnybrook this morning. I was in the van, I was going over to a job, and I seen a young lad walking just past the rugby stadium there, crossing over the lights where the church is.
Yeah.
And he looked completely normal. Didn't look as if there was anything wrong. His hair was, you know, the t-shirt on him, his hands in his pockets, and I looked down and he'd no shoes on him. He was walking on his jeans and in his socks. And I opened the window with a van and I rode across to him and says, "Do you need a lift anyway?
Yeah.
Do you need me to do anything for you?" And he was like, No.
Shoe shop or something.
No, he was like, "No, and grand." And I was like, it's like you try.
He keeps throwing in these little things, and it's fucking.
I do, in fairness, right? But like, you can't help someone, like, examples, me and you. You can't help someone who doesn't want help, like.
No. You really can't. And that's the thing. I think it's just being able to relate to people and being able to understand that, like, somebody else is going through the same thing that you're going through. That's why I started up my profile on Instagram, because, first of all, I wanted people to know that I was actually sober. And second of all, I wanted the people to know that, like, here's all my skeletons in my closet.
Yeah. Sorry, Chris, before you even go on with that, just it was interesting you just said that. You set up initially...
He set up in Ireland.
You set it up initially, or was it France? You set it up initially to let your friends and peers know that you were okay, that you've become sober, and this is the new you. Was that one of your motivating reasons?
Yeah, because like I'd just be a nuisance around my area. You know what I mean? I'd be walking around, I'd have me hood up, and if anybody seen me, they'd be afraid of me because I was just erratic,
intimidation.
I was real groggy, like, and you know, just didn't know what you were going to get. And I can understand it now why people used to obviously cross the road or like stay away from me or anything like that. And when I got out of treatment, people kept crossing the road,
right?
Or people kept, you know, avoiding conflict with me. And I was like,
how does that make you feel, Chris?
I was just so desperate to let them know, like, I'm all right now, you know what I mean? And like, I just wanted people to know, like, I'm trying my best to get sober, you know. And I also done it for other couple of reasons, to try to attract some people back in my life or to make an amends with people. But the vast majority of it was to show to everybody that I was actually all right. And the ironic thing, and I always use that, is that how crazy is it that people used to run away from me and now people run right alongside me?
Yeah, that's a great...
And that's mad. It's mad that you should say that. And it's like I said that as well. People avoided me for years and then you do a show and they want to come and see you. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, and it's like what you talked about. And it's crazy because
you're paying money to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And come here. And you do this, like, you're doing the running force and you never, pardon the pun, thought to yourself, oh, this will grow a pair of legs.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you went out.
What was it that made you start running? Why was running chosen? Was it like that was what you were good at?
They let you out of treatment if you want to go to the gym or if you want to go for a run. And they let you out.
So no, and I'll tell you where I don't know that. I've never been to a treatment centre.
Have you not, Will? Oh, no.
Okay. No. Do you know what? I avoided treatment centres for years and years and years. For me, I got clean in prison.
No way.
Yeah, I got extradited home from England.
My friend got clean in prison as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't. And come here, and I envied anyone that went into treatment centres because I never that fear. That fear always just kept me out there. Like, really? You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, go on.
No, that's...
So you got out for training?
Yeah, so basically let you out to go for a run and then I end up saying I'm going to go out and do a half marathon. I've told the story again and again, but it's the truth, you know. And I said I'm going to go out and do a half marathon. And when I went out, I started to run and I realised I just lied to them. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do a half marathon. I just want to get outside.
Right.
And then I said to myself, actually... That's all I ever do.
Best lie you ever told.
I lied to everybody.
Right.
Mm.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to actually do this half marathon. I'll never forget it. And I ran through Waterford and I fucking suffered. And I got back to the gaff and I turned around and I said, lads, I'm not doing a fucking half marathon. And nobody gave a bollocks.
Yeah.
And then I said to myself, oh my God, it's actually not about them anymore.
Yeah.
It's about me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's about me.
But mentally for you, Chris, like what exercise on the whole does for you mentally
the same as drugs, you know, but without the decrease, you know.
Yeah.
I obviously I run every day. I don't class myself as a runner. That's just being honest with you. It's just a tool, just something that I use to be able to celebrate if my day is going good, or to be able to soothe me if my day is going bad. You know,
that's mad, Chris, that you say that. Yeah. That you know, that's like me. Are going just kind of saying no, that's yeah, like yeah. me going. I don't class myself as a comedian, but I go into clubs and I do shows. No, do you know what I'm saying?
Like,
anybody that hears your name, Chris Connolly, Get Better with Chris, the first thing they think about is running.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I'll be totally honest with you. I just don't see myself as a runner. And that's just being honest. Because like, if I started, like, this goes through all my childhood and everything. If I see myself as a duty to do something, I don't want to do it because then I have so much pressure, then I have to live up to this whole fucking narrative of aunt like that, whereas I just don't give a bollocks now, you know what I mean? I just do whatever makes me happy. And
how does it make you feel running now?
Like some days I fucking hate it, but when I hate it I always learn, you know what I mean? Because then I'm like, hold on for a second, I'm actually not doing this for a specific outcome. I know that it's going to fucking get me better, and on the good days I learn, and on the bad days I'm able to get into some sort of psyche where I'm able to delve into my thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
I'm able to delve into my feelings, my emotions, and be able to
kind of check in with yourself,
have a conversation with myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
have
amazing.
A conversation with myself. It's like I know this is going to sound a little bit patronising, and I'm not taking away from meetings or anything like that, but I found myself in AA meetings and I was able to adapt the same principle in AA meetings in running.
Discipline.
Yeah, right, do you get what I mean?
But you know what, and I always say that, and I say that for people that are, you know, either suffering with addiction or people that have got a family member or somebody close to them that's in addiction. I always tell people, if you have a family member, don't, pardon the pun again, run around after them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because they'll run you ragged.
Yeah,
like, every day they'll run you ragged. Tell them you support them, that you love them, and when they want the help, ask for it. That's it.
Don't
be giving them money, don't be this.
Yeah. Don't, you know, feed them.
No, feed them and support them and have boundaries, loads of boundaries. But it's just to say as well that 12-step programs don't work for everybody.
No.
Every cripple has his own way of walking. Like, I mean, everybody finds what they do. And once it keeps you away from your drug of choice and keeps you somewhat sane, keep doing it.
It's funny you should say that, because when it comes to running, 12 steps is about all I can manage. You know what I mean?
Hey! Boom, boom.
I wouldn't get up I feel like I'm the outside of this conversation, so I have to pipe in with just little tidbits like that, you know what I mean?
He keeps making the sly little comments every day. And I'm trying not to laugh because I look like a prick because he's being serious.
I'm used to this.
And then I'm conscious the fucking camera's looking at me.
No. We'll cut that bit. We'll make you look real sad.
Black yolk over your eyes. On a black yolk over your eyes. Like
you
that.
Never know who I am.
Distort your voice.
This week we get better with this one,
was it?
Who was it?
I get better with someone.
No, but that conversation I think is needed to have, because like not everybody is the same, and I think people need to be able to find what works for them.
The biggest thing I think that works for anybody, and I know we've been on the phone to you in the past, we've had a couple of conversations and deep conversations as well, is support.
Yeah.
And someone that understands you.
Yeah.
And if you've got support, you know, from no matter who it is, just someone that'll even bleed and give you an ear to listen to, or, you know, just take a little bit of time out and have a coffee with you, or someone that you can ring up and no matter what it is you're struggling with in life, it doesn't have to be drugs or it doesn't have to be drink, it could be anything.
But if you've got
someone there that is, you know, a gentle ear to listen to, and someone that'll, you know, just be there for you.
I think listen is the key word there, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, someone.
Everybody needs somebody, you know, that's what I always say, and people need people. But, like, it's just a conversation that needs to be had by everybody. Like we're addicts, but everybody else has other stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you're blading the chronic masturbator or something like that.
Well, I'm glad you got that out of the way.
I was waiting for these jokes. These two are cracking jokes.
I have been called a massive wanker.
Yeah. You do take it in hand, don't you?
I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, as you say, there is something for everyone. People will find their thing. And I like the whole running thing, right? People have always said to me about it. And I do a bit of running on a treadmill when I'm in the gym, but I just can't do long distance. That's even hard. Did you ever do the prowler on the gym? Jeez, it's so hard. But anyway, and I look like that format that you have, you know, run with Chris for 5K with Chris, and you're interviewing. Like, if anyone even attempts to talk to me when I'm on the treadmill, I'm like,
that's why I done it, because first of all, like, when you're running, like, the mask is gone, you know what I mean, and the ego starts to fade away, and some people are very good at portraying a false image of themselves when they're able to be in these sort of
environment.
But when you're running, it's all gone, because you can't focus on how do I look, do I look this way, do I look like this. See, all that stuff is gone. Right. I just feel that's the rawest version of the individual, and it's non-scripted, it's non-fucking false, and it's the best way to be able to see the true person.
Do you tailor the pace of the run, or does the person who's running with you tailored the pace?
We just try to be able to suit it towards the individual. So like, I had Terry McAvoy on when Terry was pregnant, and we walked it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So the whole understanding is that you're doing something productive, and you're able to speak about what obstacles you overcame, how you got to be where you are today, and hopefully be able to give some advice to a young person that's watching. Because when I was in treatment, they're all the things that I wanted to know.
Right.
You know, when I used to be on my phone or fucking looking at people in, I don't know, like on Instagram or anything like that, you used to always wonder, how the fuck did they get to be where they are today?
Yeah.
You know, are they an addict like me? Because if they're an addict like me and they could do it, and I could do it.
Yeah.
And it's being able to resonate.
Find the role models and all that, and the inspiration that's out there. I was thinking of, like, Get Better with Chris, it's just such a catchy title, and I was trying to think of other things you could do, right, which involve running, and I was thinking, what, Get Battered with Chris, right?
Yeah.
So you're running through bleeding hoods in Dublin, dodgy areas, and you're just slagging off the locals, and the fucking twos are sprinting, and Chris is trying to interview him. Get Battered with Chris.
Yeah, I was thinking, because I meant to be doing the 5K, which I know I've been avoiding this for ages.
Like the plague.
No, it's mad because my leg is actually back giving me a little bit of trouble at the minute as well. I went out and played.
Keeps walking the open.
I played 12 holes of golf last night, and I walked it, like, and after I was like, fucking, do you know what? We played a football tournament.
Oh, God, yeah.
On Saturday with ex League of Ireland players.
Feed the homeless.
Like, the lads are on a different level. of football. Look, some of them are still actually playing, aren't
they? Yeah, one or two of them are still playing, but most of them are retired, but you could still see they had the touch them, and all that. Yeah. Oh my
and
God.
Like, well, I'm playing right back and I'm just come here and I'm stuffed. Like, it's, well, Will, I still just think I'm Maradona. Like, but
yeah, but
I'm
hang
not
on, hang on a second, hang on a second. I just want to shout out Will I here. Mark Rutherford is one of the greatest players that ever played the League of Ireland. Will I took the ball off him and put the ball up the wing. See you later, Mark Rutherford. That's how Will I yeah, showing you how to play football.
Yeah, but you didn't see the knife.
Give me the ball. Give me the ball.
No, come here. Look, it, look,
I thought I was fit. I'm training and all that. I'm doing army training up in Philly's gym and all that. And I thought I was fit.
Did you win? Are you training in?
In Bidu, Bidu 7.
Yeah.
I got injured in the warm up, Chris. In the warm up. So we kicked the ball and went, what the? Was that? And my calf muscle had gone.
No way.
So he was kind of hobbling around and we were doing a little bit of content on the bench. We were having a bit of crack, having a laugh. We were saying, hey, come over here. Come over here, Phil. Me smoking on the bench and all going, yeah, we're going on now in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was
sponsored by John Player Blue.
So it was Tolka Rovers legends against Shelbourne legends.
I tell you.
So, and there was a couple of exposed players playing for Shells, which I didn't take too kindly to. But anyway, it was a great day, great cause. Lots of money was raised.
Right, sort of for the homeless, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, it just shows it. Like, we think we're fit, but my God, if you haven't kicked the ball in a while, once you kick that ball, it's going to do things to your body.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Chris, I know you're dying for me to go on to do 5K with Chris. And do you know
why
what?
Don't we do a double episode with the two of yous? I've never done that before.
What do you think, Will?
Right, I think what we should do now is we should nail down the date, Derek.
Okay, so that we can't go back in it and it's forever.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what we'll do, right?
It's a contract.
Right, we're going to put this in the dirty 4 weeks from now.
I'll
right?
be in England.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be in Croatia.
When are you back from England?
October, November.
Right,
November.
Listen to me. Right, if me and you don't do this before Christmas, Eric, we've to donate €500 to a charity at Christmas Choice.
I'll definitely be doing it.
How's that?
That's brilliant.
You've heard it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you leave it till December, you have to do the run in Santa outfits.
Yeah.
That sounds fair enough. That sounds fair. Or elves.
Well, I'm gonna do one better. If I leave it till December, I'm gonna do the run in a bleeding Santa G-string.
Whoa! I'm gonna make sure we don't do it till December.
All the boards are gone. Please leave it till December. We'll do a double episode.
Deadly, that'd be brilliant.
And you know what we'll do? We'll invite someone to come along and film it. From the three of us running together.
Deadly.
Rather than you holding your bleeding thing.
But that's
and
a signature
like
thing though, isn't it? Holding the camera.
Well, you can do that.
How do you hold the camera so steady? Have you got a nap? Is it on
just,
a stick?
I just learnt, you know. I just learnt as I went on. You know, when I first had thought about the whole episodes and everything else, I needed to practice it. And I can remember I was going down the canal and I actually was walking up, I was going up to collect Lucy with Lucy's mum.
Right.
And I said to Lucy's mum, I says, I'm actually thinking about doing this new thing. Is there any chance you'd be able to just see if I'd be able to do it correctly? And we kill each other at the best of times.
Yeah.
So I fucking took the phone out and I was running down the canal and I says, just pretend you're talking to me. And she says, I am fucking talking.
You fucking idiot.
First ever episode of Yoke 5K Chris, and that's where the concept came in. Yeah,
amazing.
So it just, and then after that, I just kept holding my hand out. Most times, like, you look like a fucking idiot, like, you know what I mean?
But it's a great motivation. I mean, like, I even looked at it and, like, and I'm sure, like, hundreds of thousands of others now to this, to where you are now on the social media platform and the counties that you've run in and the numerous events that you've run in and the time that you hit when they all came to the Phoenix Park. That's bleeding jaw dropping stuff, like.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like, it's just, like, one of those things. Well, you know, like, I try not to think too much into it because, like, I just don't want to run away at myself.
You're almost overwhelmed by it all as well. Like, and that can easily happen.
People always say to me, like, do you not think that's great? Like, in the nice way possible.
Yeah.
No, because if I did, well, then I'd take the abuse on so much worse then, you know what I mean?
Yes. That's a good point.
With the territory.
Yeah.
You understand what...
Yeah, 100% I do. Yeah, yeah. Look, it's like, come here. We can always focus on the negative. Like, clips go up. Does be put up for shows that I'm doing.
Oh, stop.
And I look in at the comments, and I'm going, you know, people are going, this bloke's as funny as bowel cancer, like, yeah, and it's like, geez. And no, and that's, come here, that's putting them mildly. They do, people write that stuff, and it's trolls, and it's user 163 bleeding, wherever it might be. And I just don't buy into it.
Just keeping your feet on the ground, well, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, well,
writing these new profiles, making comments.
What I'm saying, like, we all tend as human beings, you know, to focus. We don't look at all the good stuff that's going on.
That's it.
You know, you don't look at the other, you know, 100 comments that are going, oh, right. Love that. Yeah. You know, look at that one, like.
Classic case in point with that, and a lot of comedians will tell you could be in a gig ripping the fuck out of it, and you see one fucker not smiling, you're going, what's really wrong with him? Yeah. This gig must be shit. I'm the worst comedian ever. And you're taking the roof off the place. We're just trying to find the
balance, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and that's part and parcel of it. Did anybody ever tell you that? Like, I'm just sitting here and I'm like, hold on a second, when he says one thing, it's like he does another thing. Anybody ever notice that?
No. Yeah.
It's like the two of you just have this little thing where if he says something, you give him a dig, and then if you say something, he gives you a dig.
Well, me and Will are very good pals, and we know each other. I think that's why we did the podcast, because we know how to get the best and worst out of each other.
Yeah.
Sorry, who's this? But it's no, that's just the way we work, you know what I mean? We're both comedians, so we both have little digs at each other, but it's just really to keep the conversation going. I hope it's not off putting for you, Chris.
No,
is it?
It's good. It's good to go.
It's a good dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a dynamics, isn't it? Really,
it's fucking brilliant. You know.
So come in. I ask you, right? Let's get back to the run that you're going to do in the UK. So you fly to the UK when?
So I'm going to, please God, the plan is to get a camper van and then to drive.
Oh, that's cheating, Chris.
No, I'll not.
So here we go, right? So for anyone that's out there now at the moment that owns a camper van company like Bunks up in Ting and Santry or anything like that, it's a month, right? Yeah, Here's the other thing. Just to let you know, camper van people, it's November. No one's going to Electric Picnic or no one's going to Cartown. They're going to be lying in a courtyard somewhere when your name of your camper van company is going to be on the side for a month for this worthy cause for a young man that could really do with a few quid. Yeah. So I'm just putting it out there and I'm basically guilt shaming camper van companies to go, look, give them a lend it. You learn how to drive, won't you, before you get it?
No. Somebody else is going to drive.
No, I know, I'm only joking, but I'm just saying, look, if there's anybody, that'd be such a big help for you.
Please God. Well, as I said, like, it will all work out. So basically we're gonna get the boat over to Holyhead.
Yeah.
And then it's Holyhead, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
And then go up towards Scotland and then head down then. And so the routes and everything will have planned out, and we want to be able to attract other influencers.
I was going to say that to you. I mean, even so, let's say if you start obviously in Scotland.
If
Kevin Bridges, for argument's sake, was available to run even 2K or 1K with you,
wouldn't it
be great? Or someone from Scotland. Or
the influencers of Scotland.
Or if Paddy McGuinness come out when you got down to somewhere, or John Bishop, or whoever it might be. Do you know what I'm saying?
And that's why, like, with everything that I do on social media, it's an interactive platform, and I try to use it as a community, because it is a community, you know. And the best way to fundraise is by getting people to get more people to get more people, and then that's what starts to generate the donations to come in, because like a quarter of a million euro is no easy fee.
A K a day, even if you got someone to do 1 kilometre with you a day.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Whether they're an influencer, whether it's someone that the kid has suffered with this, this disease, or it could be anybody. And if there is anybody in the UK or people that listen to this podcast that know someone in the UK who'd like to do it, just go on to Chris's Instagram or get in contact with us.
What's your Instagram handle again, Chris?
Get Better with Chris.
Get Better with Chris. Not Get Battered with Chris.
So come here. Your 30 days going to the UK. Is there going to be any day at all that you get a rest day?
No day. So I never rest when I run anyways, you know what I mean? So basically, I know all this is going to go out the window, but it's good to have a plan anyway.
The
plan is to run 30K in the morning, and then when I'm eating my lunch, I'm going to walk the 5K, which will take me an hour. So 30K, let's say for argument's sake, it takes me roughly around 3 hours.
Right.
Then I'm going to walk 5K then while I'm eating my lunch or drinking my smoothie, wherever it is on the day. That'll be 35K done in 4 hours, and then I'll just try to run then another 20K.
Right.
Hopefully then at the end of the week, week. That'll give me like one day in lieu. So then one day in lieu is if anything disastrous happens and I'm one day short, well, then I've made up for it already.
Come here, your feet took an awful battering, didn't they?
In Ireland.
Your toenails were bleeding. You went on bleeding. So, you like, I seen the state of your feet and I was like, how in the name of Jesus are you actually doing this? But look, at the spirit is stronger than flesh.
It's a good
cause. You think to yourself, I'm actually in good nick. I can do this. You know,
I suffered really badly that time. So like, the jump from running 5K every day to 50K for 11 days consecutively was just disastrous. But like, my mind was just telling me I'd be able to do it, which I was. But I have to be honest with you, it was the worst experience in my life, and I'll never forget it, because there was nights where I was crying. There was nights
just
where
with
I was
the pain, like,
just not with the pain,
emotional.
That's it. Yeah.
And the pressure on you.
That's it.
The pressure, because you're not. It's not. It's, look, if you're running 5K with Chris, you're running 5K with Chris.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, I'm running 5K. It's over, like, in bleeding at 40 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you've got the whole, and let's be honest, the whole of Ireland and other people were watching you.
So,
like,
in those 11 days, we had accumulated 27 million viewers. So, like, I felt like it was just a weird. It was like, I didn't want to give up for me. I didn't want to give up for Archie. I didn't want to give up for everybody watching me. And it was just all of this stuff then coming in. And it's like, it feels like there's no way out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, there's no way out. And then
you're exposed. You're completely exposed.
Just battling with all that. And then I was like, I can remember, and never forget, I take my phone out and all, ChatGPT. What's the easiest way to run 50K a day? And then that was saying to
me, you got a smiling emoji back laughing with bleeding tears
on
it.
And I'll never forget, I picked up the phone to a friend of mine, Michael Fox is his name. He said, Mick, said, I'm really struggling here. I said, how's the best way to run 50K a day? He said, Chris, just keep running. That's the best way to do it. Just keep running.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Then I said to myself,
tell him to go on Mastermind.
No, I couldn't believe this. I'll never forget it. I'll say, that makes perfect sense. Just keep on running. And something clicked in me. I was like, I'll just walk until I can't run, until I'm struggling. And then I'll just start to run again. And then
listen to me.
To do that.
You have to do 50K a day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether you moonwalk it, crawl it.
Yeah. Now,
so come here and I ask you, what was the feeling like when you got into Cork on that last day for Archie? And you look at, you're 100 metres or 200 metres and you can see the finish line. I'm sure it's like, it's like being in the Olympic after taking two mad bastards, going, right, let's have this.
So I was just delighted to get home. That's it, you know. So on the last 3 days, I kept thinking to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fucking make sure that I run home, or run to Cork. And as soon as I run to Cork, I'm going to get me dad, I'm going to get me young one, I'm going to go on a holiday to that. And that's what was keeping me going through it. Got my daughter to come down to the finish line, fucking delighted, grabbed her, seeing Archie, seeing me auntie. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell me dad. And that's, never forget this, very next day, seeing me dad, told him, look, I'm at the doing it, I'm bleeding, delighted. And then that day I found out that my dad had cancer.
Oh Jesus,
fuck's sake.
I felt like I was robbed of all that stuff that I had, you know, held
the elation
on to.
Yeah.
And I was like, bollocks. And then it's like
takes the enjoyment out of it, doesn't it?
It's like reality then, you know. It's like, I'm
life
actually
hits.
Living life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can forget that, like, we're actually here for a limited amount of time. Because life can feel like it's limitless. Our potential is limitless. But our duration on this period of life is actually limited.
It's so brief.
Like, I was mixed with emotions. I was fucking delighted seeing me young one, seeing me auntie, seeing me friends, seeing Archie, his man, dad, happy days, fucking brilliant. Gets back home next day, I was like, fuck.
Jesus.
Then I was like, fuck.
Brings it down to earth straight away kind of thing, yeah. Do you mind me asking, how is he? How's he doing?
So far he's doing good now. But like, these sort of things, I only said it the other day in a video I made, he rips families apart. That to bring me and me dad closer, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what life is all about.
And that's mad that you should say that, because my dad had cancer as well. He's come here. He's gone now. Like, my dad was from the Liberties, and it did bring us closer together. And I always say, the most intimate moment I ever had with my dad is when he was passing. Like, just to be there with him.
That's it.
To be present and to love him unconditionally. Like, you know. And look, none of us is exempt from bleeding. Life on life's terms. Things, you know, great things happen in life. Poxy things happen in life.
Yeah.
And it's like, sometimes people say, why me? And I remember Tommy Tiernan saying this. He was talking about a mate of his that had cancer, and your man said, I'm not saying why me. He's going, why not me? He says, I'm no different from anyone else. Because we always think when stuff like that happens to people, or it happens to other people, like that stuff doesn't
never
happen
to me. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it does, like.
You're fucking right, it does. And then it sort of gives you the understanding that you're actually mortal. And then, like, I always thought I'd be prepared for disastrous events. You know what I mean? I always thought that with my mindset and with all that sort of stuff, I'd be well prepared for it. But then I was just fucking devastated. You know what I mean? Devastated. But now saying that, I'm grateful now, because, like every time now me and my dad leave each other, he always tells me that he loves me. You know?
Yeah.
And I never got that when I was only a kid.
Isn't that great?
No, that's mad that you should say that, because me and my dad never hugged and never told each other we loved each other until I come into recovery.
It's the affection thing. I think it's the affection thing, you know what I mean? Afraid to show affection until you, like, just drop all that facade, like, and then remember what's the fucking, the main prerogative, and that's that family matters, you know?
100%.
And we're all only human and we have feelings, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we get fucked up and, like, come here, I know I've said it loads. All my family are dead, like, me mum, me dad, me sister, like, they're all gone, and there's times that you get, you know, you hear the song in the car or something, and you're just gone, like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're like, you know, you fall apart, like. And grief is just love that's been lost, like. And when you love the person that much more, the grief is stronger.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I've said this as well. No one knows how to deal with grief. There's no bleeding way, certain way to deal with it. Everyone deals with it differently. Like, you know?
Yeah. My main prerogative is just fucking don't ever pick back up, you know, and being able to share about each and every single thing. I just always find that regurgitating whatever it is that's going on inside me out into the world is what works for me, you know.
Yeah, and just come here, like, you just keep doing exactly. I always say to people that come into recovery or people that have stopped doing what they used to do, we just say, look, as long as you do today what you're doing yesterday, you're going to get another day, like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And come here, I just, like, it's about choices for me now. I've no need or no cravings or no, you know, to kind of go, oh, I'd love this, I'd love to take this, I'd love to do that. I do think about it the odd time, but thinking about doing stuff and doing stuff are two different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
once you've identified in your own head that I'm only thinking about it, I'm not actually wanting to do
it. Well,
most
of it is intrusive, it's just an intrusive.
Yeah, but I mean, so you've really got to look at, you know, and my missus's job, you know, they look at the relationship of the substance with the person that's using that substance. So for like a bag of powder, that soy is right. Look at what you're going to lose if you take that.
Yeah.
Right, so you're going to lose your daughter straight away.
Because
your missus isn't going to give her to you, because you're going to be irresponsible.
Yeah.
Your relationships with the people on social media.
Yeah.
Not that everyone's going to abandon you because they won't.
No.
Right? But it's going like, to... Yes. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
hold on a minute.
No, do you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna lose... So much, like, so you've everything to lose, and you're
not thinking about Willow. Get out of my head,
yeah. And I take that bag off the table.
Chris, you've been doing that before the fucking 50 day, eh? Yeah.
See me running up Lane Camden Street, get better with Willa. Get takeaways with Willa.
What I wanted to ask you, Chris, as well, like you mentioned, like, that time with when your feet and all were in bits, and, you know, it's a massive jump 5k to the, like, ultra marathons, like, you know, but what have you learned about that? Have you been taught techniques, physiotherapy, insoles, all that kind of shit?
I'm going to be honest with you, no. Like,
okay.
I don't stretch. I don't do anything. Like, a lot of people say, oh, you need to stretch, you need to masseuse and all that. I don't do any of that. And I'm not recommending other people do it. I'm just telling you.
That works for you.
That's what works for me, you know. And, like, as for all that stuff, I don't really worry about external sort of stuff. I rather worry about internal. So I make sure that I pick up the phone and I speak to people who I need to speak to. And, like, I have really, really good people around me, thank God. And I just talk to them, just tell them how I'm feeling, tell them what I'm going through. I just need me personally, and I'll always refer back to myself because everybody's different, I just need somebody to understand what's going on with me.
Right.
And then I need to be able to find out a way to get through it. And with the next couple of runs, I'll just be communicating with a couple of lads who are who have done it all before, you know. I watched that BPN. Did you watch that BPN, the Go One More documentary? Yeah?
No.
These lads. So basically they have like, it's a 4.2 mile loop and you loop it, all right? And it's around 6K, we'll say, all right?
Right.
And whatever time you get around it, within the hour, whatever's left, you have to rest. And these lads went for close to 3 days straight.
What?
3 days straight. And you are loose.
Was it really?
Yeah, really.
But
yeah,
still.
So no, so they go at the same
time. Oh, they went. They ran at the same time.
So they're the last two, but there was hundreds of people who've done it. And I was looking at that, and I was like, oh my god!
Wow,
that is some amazing stuff. You need to check that out, honestly, because
is it on Netflix?
It's on YouTube. It's free to watch. It's on YouTube. It's fucking phenomenal.
Right.
But it's all around the basis of going one more. You know?
And if you miss it the first time, it's on loop.
Yeah, yeah. They fucking don't stop running.
And it's sponsored by Loop the Loop.
Yeah. I feel like I have to get a joke in it. These two cunts.
Sniggering at. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Struggles, have you? Oh. I'll show you struggles. Yeah. But come here. So what's, like, obviously you've got this thing in the UK. Yeah. Do you think very far ahead now, Chris, or are you one of these, take it day by day?
Yeah, I take everything day by day. Yeah. Like,
so would you not, so here's just a suggestion for you, right?
Would you not stop running?
Yeah, now would you even say every 3 days or 4 days, get a rub down on your legs, right? That's just a suggestion. Another thing is, right, from someone who used to do a little bit of running, but not an awful lot, what worked great for me was, and a fella said it to me, right, so what type of socks do you use when you run?
Just Nike ones.
No, so I was put onto these socks, right, they're called Thousand Miles, that's the name of them. You buy them either in, listen to me, right, so here's a suggestion for
sponsored
you, right?
Ad.
So they're called, non-paid. They're called Thousand Mile Running Socks, right? And what they do is, so they've got two types of them. They've got one with a merino wool in them if you're doing cross country or you're doing, you know, going across mountains. Because what the merino wool does is that if you're in the wet, your feet will get wet, but they don't get cold. So the merino wool generates the heat in your feet. Boy. That's what that does. Then the second thing that the Thousand Mile Socks does, which is mad, so you're wearing a single sock by Nike or by Adidas or by Asics.
Yeah, yeah.
So Thousand Miles have a double sock in them. So you put your foot into a sock and there's another layer of a sock around it again.
Okay,
so right, it stops the friction on your feet, for blisters and all that.
Okay, right.
They were a game changer for me. Okay. Now, I wasn't running. Come here, when I was fit and I was doing like duathlons and all that, I'd be doing about 10 mile. But the difference I found from going into a single fabric sock into a Thousand Mile sock totally was fucking different. Totally different.
Wait, well, I must have,
there you go. Have a little talk. Think about that, Chris.
Yeah.
So that's just it. Yeah.
For,
have a look at my physique. Yeah. Tune in for more running tips. Are you running to the Chinese? You need Thousand Miles. No, they're a great sock.
But little things like that make a big
exactly.
difference. You know
exactly.
I mean? Especially when you're fucking pounding like the pavement all the time. You know what I mean?
That's why I was asking you, Chris, because I'm like, you know, I'm this is the first time we've chatted a few times, but this is the first time we've had a proper sit down chat with you, and I'm worried about you, like, genuinely, you know, but genuinely, like, kind of going, and as well, I said, I'm delighted he made that suggestion. We're kind of looking at you going, how can we make this as easy as possible for Chris? So, or is there a part of the suffering you like?
Yeah and no. So here's the thing, this is the reality of it. If it's easy for me to do, nobody will watch it and nobody will donate, and then the whole thing falls to shit. So like, I know it's going to sound a little bit stupid, but I just leave everything else just up to God, you know. When I done the Ireland run, I was sat down the day before by two people, and they turned around to me and says, we don't think you should do this. You're really, really unprepared. You don't know what you're doing. We are only having been running 5K.
Great motivation speak from them people.
And then I was like, that's fucking
bullshit. Yes.
That's all I needed to hear.
Happy fucking day.
Yeah. It's like, if someone's telling you not to do something.
Yes.
Yes.
Doing it.
It's like, don't press the red button.
Yeah,
of course. And then everything fell to shit. But people want to see you suffer. They want to see you struggle, and they also want to see you find a way through it.
Right.
And like, it goes across the test and the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, for this one, I'm just making sure that I have people there who are going to be able to cook for me and be able to document there.
And a bit of team around you, yeah. Yeah, brilliant.
And then the rest is just up to God, like, you know.
So come here, have you got, like, because I know Darragh Moran at the moment is swimming around Ireland. He's doing the coast of Ireland.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, there's a guy called Darragh Moran. It's called Swimwear. He's swimming the whole coast line. He started in Galway, and obviously he's finishing in Galway.
Yeah.
I think he's down past Wexford or something at the moment.
Wow. So he's halfway.
Yeah, look, so come here. It's a big ask, but what I know is that. So he this is why I'm coming back to you. This is why I'm kind of talking about him. Is that.
Oh, big ask.
Have you.
He keeps doing
it,
Villa.
No, it's all right. It's okay. But what I'm asking is, are you going to have like a monitor on you or like a sat nav to let people know on that journey where you were on any given day if they want to come out and just run 5K with you through that village or through that town or wherever it might be? Yes. Or just give you that little bit of support, like, you know?
So I ran recently with Corey Sampson, and Corey Sampson ran from east to west. Is that correct? Left to right of Britain, and he done 800 kilometres. And when he done that, he had a tracker on him. And I went over and had done a couple of runs with him. And he said, we keep the tracker on for all the time that we're running. And then when we're sleeping, then we knock the tracker off, obviously for safety.
Wake up in the bed with three different mops.
Yeah, all right. People around,
with the cameras out.
Yeah, we want to run as well.
We're going to give you the rub down,
guys, we're just massaging your legs.
She's going to feed you great.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna record
for OnlyFans.
Get rolled with Chris. So I'll be doing all that.
That's great.
Just to try and have a good time doing it. You know, we only a friend of mine only recently for Breast Cancer Ireland. He cycled from Dublin to Cork, and I tried to cycle him. My fucking legs are in bits, so I end up running over him.
Jesus.
But when he done that, it was the first time that I was able to enjoy something like that, because I'm always caught up in my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially when it's not you doing it.
Yeah, and then when it's not you, it's just like,
you can really enjoy it.
And then I'm like, I was going down, I don't know where it was, I was going down somewhere and I was like, oh my God, I've never been here before. And I was like, I actually was here. I ran the 32 counties, I ran in every single county all across Ireland. I was here last year.
Wow.
Never took her in.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was like,
so is that the new appreciation for you now, Chris, doing this big one in the UK? You're going to go, I'm going to try and enjoy it this time.
I fucking hope so.
So are you basically going to, you obviously have your path, are you going straight through the middle of it?
No, so it'll be teetering from I have it on Komoo. It's an app.
Right.
So I'll put all the graphics and all up as well, so people will see where I'm going to be every single day of the 30
Amazing.
days, and then you'll be able to use a Google Transmit then to be able to track me all alongside it. But I'll be passing on the left side of England all the way in then to the end.
So the way I see it, if you're coming down through Scotland, you're going to head over towards Lancashire, down by Manchester, Liverpool, that kind of thing.
That's it.
Brilliant. That's a good place to go, because
all the good party towns.
But also the massive Irish contingents out of there as well. 24-hour
party
people.
Tracker on, I'm having 10K on the dance floor. Sunshine!
Man, for it.
Oasis.
So, Chris, what does Chris Connolly get better with Chris? What does he like to do on his days off?
One of the biggest things that I do is just basically just hang around with me yumming.
I tell people to knock their phones off.
That's the taxi man outside ringing me.
Is it?
Sorry about that, Chris.
No, you're all
right. Bring him in.
Yeah. Stay there, you fucking bring him in.
Why not pay, bro? Not kick the stick to my
Uber.
Probably just hang around with me. Though. I haven't really got much time now to do. And that's actually probably a good thing that I need to look at, you know? I like to
But that's all right as well, like, what I would suggest to you as well is try stuff.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? When I came into recovery, I tried loads of different things that I didn't even think I'd be into.
Yeah,
some of them I was into, some of them I wasn't into. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was showing up ballet dancing and tap dancing. Do you know what I mean? I tried loads of different things and I went, yeah, I actually like this. I'll try this or whatever. But we all need something, I think, to kind of wind down to. And sometimes it takes others longer to find it than other people, you know?
Yeah, and also...
Try like, running.
That's a great idea.
I just, sometimes I just, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm actually just afraid to do things, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
just
okay.
A little bit afraid to fucking step out of my comfort zone a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm as much of like somebody I am on social media, I'm also antisocial.
Right.
I
mean?
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually you like to be on your own a lot of times.
Yeah, that's
I had a meeting before this, and as I was sitting in the meeting, the lady at the end of it turned around and says, I can't believe how quiet you are in real life. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. She's like, on the internet, you're always laughing and
chatting,
joking.
Yeah.
So I'm always fucking running. The running gives me the endorphins.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, apart from that, I'm just like, you know.
You're reserved and you just do your own thing and you like your own company.
Yeah.
We are rapidly running out of time. As the taxi man just told me there. No, but we are rapidly running out of the nice pond there with Harrison. Rapidly running out of time, but Chris Connolly, get better with Chris.
Chris, and not only that, we sincerely and genuinely wish you all the best. If anyone wants to donate to this course, how can they do that?
So the donation link will be at the top of my profile. We'll be starting a new one, please God. So it'll have zero in it, and then we'll look to raise the $250,000. So if it's a case anybody can contribute anything at all, please
do,
or even to share the donation.
And you don't have to be from the UK to donate.
And just to say as well,
on the note of the camper van, if somebody even has a camper van that would like to donate that camper van for a month for Chris, that would be greatly appreciated. It doesn't have to be a company. If it is a company, well and good. Eric, let me answer the phone to him. Sorry. If it is a company, you know, that has camper vans, well and good, that's brilliant. If it's not, if it's someone that has a camper van, they're a decent camper van, what's 2022?
I hope he's putting this podcast out before I do the run.
No, we will 100%.
It'll be out next Thursday.
But come here. And any way that anyone can contribute at all. And obviously the tracker as well, going through England. Yeah. English people, or even if there's expats over there that want to get out and run for a couple of K with you and just bleed and give you that bit of boost, be greatly appreciated.
And thanks very much for having me on.
No, come here, it's been a pleasure.
You're an inspirational character. It's been great sitting down, getting to know you a little bit, and continued success to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
God bless.